Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, Incorporated, the Beltville Meat Market, Millennium Marine, Boyd's One Stop, and Bayou City Angler. All right. Getting to the weather here. It's 80 degrees down on the island this morning. Still kind of waiting on that front line to come through, but some clouds this morning, they'll give way to sunny skies for the afternoon. North winds 15 to 25. Excuse me, having to clear my throat. Anyway, tonight, clear skies, low of 73. East-northeast winds 10 to 15. And for tomorrow, mainly sunny with a high of 83. Southeast 10 to 20. And looking at tides, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We're sitting on a high right now. We've got a low coming up at 10:04 a.m. It's an 0.8, a high at 4:30 p.m. a 1.6, and then a low at 10:28 p.m. a 1.1. So kind of where we're at. Four tides today and pretty much same water levels. Still running some fairly high tides. Looking at current conditions right now, Galveston Channel is northwest at 6 to 7, 83-degree water with 80 degrees. Eagle Point, it's 80 degrees with 80-degree water with a northwest wind at 3. And at Morgan's Point, 78 degrees with 81-degree water with a west wind at 5. So that's where we're at. Good luck. Good fishing. All right. All but those north winds, 15 to 25, that's pretty strong, if that happens. All right, well, let's get to the lines. Let's go down to Port O'Connor now and check in with Captain Kim Golden this morning, see what she's up to. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Everything's good. You bet.
We're just here, just like you said, waiting on this little front to pass.
Yeah.
Waiting on it to get here. We think it might give us a little opportunity this morning before the wind picks up.
Yeah. Wish it was a little colder, but we'll take what we can get right there, right now at this point.
We will take what we can get. We sure will. You mentioned a few things that y'all are seeing in your neck of the woods. Boy, we're certainly seeing it here. Overall, the story still remains, the bull tides and the shifting wind directions to no wind, and still have a lot of grass, still have a lot of dead grass, floating grass that is making some of our efforts a challenge. But I have a feeling some 25 mile an hour north winds might fix that.
It might push it somewhere.
It just might. Well, I'll take that. It's been around here for about 6 weeks and has kind of given lure fishermen a little bit of a challenge, but still hanging on to our bite. Hey, this last week has been a roller coaster. One day, lights out, just awesome. Had six waders one day, all of them slinging mirror lure, little John XLs, and just cleaned house. You know, just had an absolutely great day. Next day, crickets.
Oh boy!
Seen
that a million times.
One day a hero. One day zero. That's the nature of the game.
The old chicken and feather theory.
Let me tell you. And then we get through that day and go to the next, and then, you know, just have a great trout bite. Just every, you know, some days we'd hold that bite till even noon or midday. Come back the next day, and, you know, just it was just a real roller coaster up and down. But our trout bite's been good early. And it's been good late. If you were willing to go back out later, you know, last couple of hours of the day, I think were rewarded pretty well. And they're still kind of in the same areas, just hanging on those drop-offs, hanging on those grass lines, laying in those sand pockets. Not much has changed. They're still about the same structure. Even on the days that we've been blessed with a little cooler temps, they're still slipping off just like they've been doing. They've been doing about the same thing.
Yeah.
No big ones for us this last week. Good, solid, you know, mid to upper slot trout, fat, you know, nice fish. They have started to meet that lure every now and then when it hits the water, which is something I haven't seen for a while. So that's nice. That's nice. They're trying harder on the days they're biting. So, and then just as we hope, as I often see when the water rises here and those reds just go back forever and eat on everything they come across all the way back, when they come out, they are just so fat. We caught some mid to upper slot reds that were just so big and so round that they just like they've been gorging back there. It's fun. And red and copper, just as if they were plugged in, you know, just super, super bright red fins and beautiful color to them. It's been a lot of fun on the days they played. Now, it was not a lot of fun on the days they ghosted us, but that's part of it.
Yeah, that's part of it. Crab and shrimp and shad and mullet diet all together. That'll plump them up.
That'll do it.
Weight on them, man.
And, of course, I say this relatively speaking because all of our water seems deep right now, but a lot of our good reds came much deeper than I expected. I can say that. I don't know if apparently whatever it was they were after eating, that's where that was. But a whole lot of really good fish, redfish, a lot deeper than I would have expected to find them for this fishery, for here. We had a big tournament here yesterday. It was, I believe, a ConocoPhillips. They have it every year, and a lot of turnout for it. And boy, there were some good fish caught. I happened to see a little bit of it and see some pictures from it. Huge turnout, and really, there were some really good fish caught. Since our new trout regulations kind of came into effect, I've noticed a trend here that our tournaments tend to be. Have trended towards a redfish, a trout, and a flounder as the stringer. So for here in our fishery, the flounder seems to always be the kicker. If you can get the flounder, you're in good shape.
So, but basically, it makes it a redfish tournament because without that big red, you might as well not even show.
Without the red and without the flounder, if you can get the good red and the flounder, you're in good shape. So it's a lot of fun trying to draw that flounder bite. We don't have, well, we have a little bit, but not really a dedicated area that I think people think about here when they think, oh, I'm going to catch a flounder. I mean, some might, but generally speaking, so it's a lot of fun trying to get that bite and trying to secure one. Very exciting when it happens. Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. I was the bug yesterday. I was not the windshield, but we sure had a lot of fun trying.
Well, it's tougher to do in one day than you think, especially if you're like a trout snob like I am. You just basically, when you go fishing, you're fishing for trout. You'll take whatever comes along. You know what I mean? And hey, redfish is one thing, but then when you got to break off of that, when you're kind of weeding through trying to get that real legit red, then you got to jump off of that and go spend the rest of the time trying to get a good sized flounder. And this time of year, that's hard to do because a lot of them are small. You know, they're small males. They're 13 to 15 inches, and to get an 18 or 20 inch flounder, that's a tough feat.
It is tough. It is tough. And in with all this water, they could they could be anywhere. Right now, well, they could literally be anywhere.
Yes.
Our duck blinds are underwater. They could be laying in the. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if a bunch of them laying in the bottom deck of a duck blind somewhere.
Well, you know, this time of year up here, with a lot of piers along certain shorelines in Galveston Bay system and around those pier pilings. There's like a hole, you know, from the current and the waves all the time. Those flounder will lay right next to those pier pilot legs. And they'll be in that hole. And we used to wade fish and just flip pilings, you know, to get our flounder, you know, until the real run started.
Well, they sure are fun to catch. And I know that it's so fun to target them and see it, you know, and have it actually – you know, pay off for you like that. They're a bonus for us here when we get them waiting. It's always a treat for us. We're always glad to see them. Always glad to see them. I know our giggers are doing well. I see their you know, posting stuff from when they're gigging, and they've been getting some really nice ones. So that's always a good sign. We know they're around. Sometimes we wonder where they go.
Yeah. Well, seeing's believing, and when you see them with these good light systems, these boats and everything have nowadays, it's it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Sure.
Makes it pretty easy.
Makes it pretty easy. I know for us, I noticed this week when we had several of those high-pressure bluebird sky days, our topwater bike cooled a little. I guess that probably is to be expected underneath that. Soft plastics were pretty much the name of the game for what was an easy sell for, you know, most days. But I'm hoping we get a little, still maintain a little topwater bike this fall, because that sure has been fun.
Yeah, it has. There's been the inklings of it all up and down the coast.
Has it been good for y'all too?
Yeah, our topwater bite's been, well, it's on and off though. You may have two or three days, boom, bam, boom, topwater city, that's all you get out of the boat with, and then, but never leave the boat without a bag of soft plastics or a couple of jig heads. Hey, what would we, just think where we'd be this day and age if we didn't have soft plastics. I mean, that's just such a versatile lure, and there'd be a lot of dry days. Really would.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. It's a lot of fun. A great lure. It can be as simple as, you know, suspend one under a popping cork, or you can get technical and put it any column of the water, or keep it in any column. It's just, you can do anything with it from one end.
That's what's great about it. It's so
versatile.
That's
what's great. That's what's great. Any size, and I get it. I think one of the questions I get asked most, you know, I'm always asked about color, and my answer's always been the same on that. Profile and presentation over color. I'm going to worry about the profile and how I offer it before I'm going to worry too much about the color. I think, I don't know if that's something that maybe somebody that fishes them often can toy with or play with and see what they think if they're just getting started in it. But boy, that can make or break your day right there.
It sure can. Surely can. Well.
And I was reminded, I know something I really wanted to share today real quick. I was reminded of this earlier this week on two separate days. I can remember talking early on about trout fishing and wading and talking about the difference 20, 40, 50 feet can make in the result you're having. And I took a video. I happened to have the inside lane close to the shoreline. We were trout fishing. I had waders on the drop-off. And about 28 feet between me and the waiter next to me was the difference between catching nice trout and not catching one.
Right.
So my waiter was cleaning house, and I was begging for a bite. So, before you leave the area, either fan that cast, get good at delivering some line to the right or left and check it first, or move on out there and check it to be sure. I mean, literally, I could have thrown anything and got it to him. It wasn't much distance at all, but it was the difference between a great day and not.
Water depth is the key. Always has
everything.
Been.
Everything.
I mean,
yeah,
and it doesn't have to be but a 6-inch, 8-inch difference in water depth where those fish are liking it.
Absolutely.
You,
the more overall.
Too deep a bunch of times. That's why I fan your cast. Work the area
for sure.
For
sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you get to them, stop.
That's it. Throw your anchor out, man. That's what I tell a lot of guys. They,
put your pole
they'll
down.
They'll hook a fish, and they just start keep walking to it. I said, man, throw your anchor out. Stand there. Reel the fish to you. Don't go to the fish.
It's an easy mistake to make. It's easy.
It
you're kind of used
excited.
To it and in that mode.
Yeah,
and I get excited too, so I understand. But yeah, put your pole down. You got it. Put your anchor down and stand right there and have a great day.
That's it. Throw that anchor out, man. All right, Kim. Well, hey, I appreciate the report from POC. And somebody wants to come down and hook up with you and pop a wade, cut adrift, give them some info how they can reach you.
Absolutely. I'd love that. My website, PortO'ConnorFishingTrip.com, has all the information there. And reach out and we'll do it. It's about to get good. I'm about to go out here and see what these trout think about this front.
Hit them before it kicks in. That's
yes,
it.
Sir.
It's a light north wind right now, so it looks good for now.
All right.
All right, Kim. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you next week. You have a good Sunday.
Thank you to you and your crew and your listeners. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to it every week. Thank you.
You're mighty welcome. Thank you.
All right.
See you now.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch, they have it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. That way your weekend here, it'll be one you won't soon forget. So if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show on the Sunday morning. It's 420 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Freeport and check in with Captain Jeff Naylor this morning. Jeff, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm here, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I got you there. Man, I am down in Cabo this weekend.
You sounded like you were somewhere other than home. I could hear it in your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It been a long night last night, and, you know.
Oh, I bet. Cabo. That's rough, man. What are you down there at the Bisbee's?
Man, we're down here to check out my boys, Realese, fishing all the tournaments at Bisbee's. But really, we're up here in Las Brias. Kind of just doing some fishing of our own. We're not, trying to stay away from the crowd more or less. Man, I tell you what, it's a beautiful place to do it. If you've never been here before, this is it's close enough to the action and far enough away that it's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
With all the lights in the distance, opposed to being in the middle of the crowd. So, and fishing. Fishing here is right now, big tuna being caught. I mean, some giants, 320-pound, I think.
Oh, holy.
Yellowfin, they were waiting. Yeah, they've got some real good catches. The release points, the billfish release, at least this week's tournament was good. I feel like, without looking back in history, it was good. It wasn't as good as it's been, but it's good. But just saying a lot. Last year it was pretty slow, and then everybody seems to think that next week for the big one is certainly going to be a lot better. So they kind of got real lucky this year. They didn't get hit by. There were several hurricanes that came over, acting like they were about to just wreck.
I was looking at
whole southern Baja area, and then right at the last minute, kind of veered off. So. It worked out really well for these guys and the Bisbee's. And, our boys, they got second place release. I think it was the first tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And then this week they didn't do as well. Got some points on the board, just didn't make a check. And but they certainly think they got them dialed in and ready to get a bigger check in the big one. So yeah, man, we're actually going to be going out to Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So we haven't quite splashed yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, well,
we're right there, man.
Well, don't get in that water that Sharky got in while he was over there.
No
That's
absolutely
still strange
not.
how that happens.
Very, very strange. Very strange. I really didn't even get the full story again from, how much swimming he did versus just, whatever. But
I think it was like, the last day they were there or something, they snorkeled and, they did a snorkeling trip or something. I guess that's when he got it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, Megan, she looked back and Googled it, and as it turned out, there was some red flag warnings, throughout Cabo San Lucas that there was some bacterial whatnot found in some of the shallow waters. So
yeah, if their rivers no telling what comes, you know, down the rivers and into the waters, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, and really to your point, actually, they got quite a bit of rain though. Even though some of these hurricanes didn't hit, some of them kind of hovered over the, you know, La Paz or, you know, all the areas around here. So yeah, they did get hit pretty good recently, and you know, it's just amazing. It's one of the wildest things about Cape Verde, you know, when we were down there, is that it rained. Kind of did the same thing. Had a hurricane that spun up, came off the coast, circled back around, and just stayed on there for a few hours on the islands and just dumped, you know, they're basically the annual rainfall in like 3 hours, you know.
Right.
And so it was green, you know. All of a sudden it sprouts green. And other islands, they love that rain. They just go crazy. And this, and here, same thing, but they sprout butterflies. You got to see the amount of butterflies. I mean, it's unreal. The amount of butterflies and colors and I mean, it's just these old desert, the desert scenic, you know, trees or whatnot. They take a little bit of rain a long ways.
Right.
But man. So. We're headed offshore today. We're going to probably do some tuna fishing. And they say there's some mahi, so we'll see. We're still down a few points on the board, release points for Texas Big Game right now. So, Megan, we thought that we were going to be able to come down here and get a few more points with, international points, but I don't know. There was a woman that's already, she got 2,400 points. So, Megan would get a lot of strike marlin in her future if she was going to do that. And
what'd that woman get those 2,400 points with?
Oh man, who knows? I mean, you know, they don't say it.
I got you.
You know, but blues 500, stripes 200. Whites 100, sales 100,
right?
So a combination of any of those. The more than likely, probably 3 or 4 blues and a striped marlin or two.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong. Any given Sunday, you can that here. It's not a huge deal. But the blues are you know, especially when there's a lot of boats like this, they do get a little more scattered. I feel like so getting the big numbers probably. Not a high likelihood, but
what's the food like down there?
Man, you know what? The food is amazing, you know.
Is it? Okay, well, I was afraid I might ask the wrong question. Yeah, that little pause there. I said, I might have asked the wrong question here.
Yeah, I know. Las Farias is one of the towns that is you know, a little bit bigger, you know, than some of the surrounding towns. Mm. And I'm talking, this is, you know, La Paz, this is just, you know, listeners like an idea. La Barisa is actually about an hour and a half north of Los Cabos.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a trek. But I mean, they have great food. They have lots and lots of restaurants downtown and all, you know, they actually have a very good selection as well. So, yeah, I mean, versus some of the other places, you know, I think our boys stayed, there was a tournament early on in the year. I think it was in the latter part of July, and they stayed, it was up here just about 10 miles south of Barbarisa. It's the state of the Four Seasons. They said, man, it was one of the most expensive trips that they've ever had down here. And that's probably saying a lot. I mean, you know, staying in Los Cabos with the boats and everything else. So,
yeah.
You know, one of those things. I mean, how many times have you been fishing down here in Cabo?
Just one time. My wife and I went
out
there. Just one
time.
Yeah. I've only been there once.
But yeah, I would be in that
90% of my Mexico vacations were, you know, on the Caribbean side.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I got you there. You know, they have a lot of great bottom fishing here, too. It's, you know, a lot of different kinds of groupers and kubera snappers and stuff like that. You know, trying to get the, especially this time of the year when you got, you know, all the tournaments going on, which are generally billfish tournaments, it's hard to get some of the guys to take you, you know, specifically for bottom fish. Most, you know, they don't want to catch bottom fish. They want to catch billfish and, you know, tuna and whatever. But I think that's one of my goals before I leave here is finally get on a panga. I don't really care. And try to go catch a kubera snapper, man. I want one so bad. And I have yet to find that one. So we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, I'm going to have a much better report for you next week. But, you know, at this point, I'm just blessing you with what I got so far. You know, Casey's down at the ranch this week. Excuse me, no. He's up in Houston last night, and then he'll be back at the ranch here real quick. And they're getting ready, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, opening weekend's right around the corner. November 1st is coming quick.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
If we know it.
All right, let me clear the air and knock this breakout. I'll be right back at you, Jeff. You got that time to hold there, bud?
Absolutely. You bet.
Okay, I'll be right back at you, my friend. Hang on. All right. Well, it's going on today. Today's the last day. Come out to the Galveston Fishing Extravaganza. That's at the Galveston County Fairgrounds right there in Hitchcock, Texas. And check out all their boats, vendors, food trucks, kids zone, RVs, and more. And along with that, it's free parking. That's the best thing about it. Free parking and $10 wristbands. That's good for all weekend long. And if you've been out there Friday, you can go again today and check it out. A lot of fun, food trucks, the whole nine yards. Everybody's having a good time. That's the Galveston Fishing Extravaganza. Don't miss it. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 4:36 here in the Bayou City on this Sunday morning. All right, Jeff Naylor, we're back. Naylum.
Back in action. Back in action.
Yeah, it's back.
Man, you know, I'm sending you some pictures of some last week's catches. They're out of Freeport with Matt Smith and Sons.
Yeah.
And stellar, actually, stellar. Man, they've been really doing well. The yellowfin have come around, and there's a few. I mean, there's some studs out there. I think they have several that are probably 150 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they have been doing well.
Pretty nice, man. Pretty nice.
Yeah. So,
you know, you mentioned when we first started talking earlier, you talked about catching a 350-pound yellowfin. That's massive.
Oh, that's a massive yellowfin. Yeah.
That's,
and it was actually a 330, I think, something like that. But
still,
yeah.
You know, yeah. We get eye openers around here when you hear about 200s. You know, you go, man, that's a big fish.
Yeah, I mean, and Casey and I talked about this not that long ago. The state record is still about 250, I think, some around that area. And it was caught 40 miles offshore Freeport in either early 2000 or late 99. I probably should have looked this up before I said anything. But anyways, it was caught 40 miles offshore. And, it's still the pending state record as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I mean, if you're looking at a state record being 250 in all of Texas, you know, they're catching them three something here. That's massive. You know,
yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely huge. And there's a few the local guys, you know, like the boats we're going to jump on.
this morning. You know, they've had a couple come in. You know, it's big, the black and blue guys, or the business guys, I'm sorry, they're fishing kind of more on the point, whereas we're more up, you know, inland a little bit, or inside the Gulf. And so you don't normally have as many big ones like that. They will come around, you know, but you know, any given Sunday, really. I mean, that we talked to one of the guys yesterday on the little beach bar there, and he said, you know, he had caught one that was around 350, 330, something like that. He wasn't in the biz, but he just so happened to catch one that was equivalent to the winner.
Right.
But he said it was like four and a half hour fight, basically. It was a tug of war for sure.
Man, how many species of fish are on that dock in that one shot, man?
I know. Crazy.
Are those tile fish behind those groupers?
Tile fish, groupers, queen snappers. Queens. He's got to be the king of queen snappers. And about everything else, you know. And I love those guys, man. You know, jigging has become such a huge fad, you know, and there's a few very key players that are around in our Texas area, let's call it, you know, Gallatin, Houston, Freeport, and, you know, they go with him a lot, and, man, you wouldn't imagine. I bet you have those fish, those barrelfish. Now, you're not going to catch a barrelfish, you know, under 900 feet of water. So, I mean, they're much deeper. The tile fishes, you know, sometimes you can get them in 600, 700, but those barrelfish are pretty deep. And majority of those fish caught on that dock are probably hand reeled in with those little jigging rods. And, you know, I've had so many conversations in the last few months about jigging and, you know, people. I mean, heck, we all been fishing a long time. You realize, you know, 1,000 foot of water, it's a terrible reel in. You know, you don't want to do that.
Right.
That's forever. You know, but that new gear that they have nowadays is just like, it has a high retrieve. It's super light. It's not really heavy. It's not cumbersome. And actually, it's not as bad as you would believe. And, well, you know, the products in I mean, you see what they catch with it, so apparently it works very well.
The fish don't win anymore. Where you got guys I'm just too tired. I'm quitting fishing, man. I'm too tired.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Matt and them, they just do an incredible job. I have yet to have him on the radio. Matt, if you're listening right now, you owe me one.
I think he was on here with us once, wasn't he? I think we had him one Sunday. Yeah, Matt was Smith and Sons.
I don't think we did. Yeah, did we?
Man,
okay,
a year ago, I think. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take that back, Matt. I'm sorry, but...
Oh, we'll get him again if he ever slows up.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I can't believe all those tuna. Man, that's a dock covered in tuna. Boy, there's some toads in there, too. Jeez.
Yeah, they got some good ones there.
Yellow fins, black fins, I mean, tile fish, grouper. Man, what a pile.
Queen snapper, lots of vermilion snapper in the back, probably. They've just been, you know, and it's the stars are aligning right now for all that because, you know, what we talked about early in the year, everything on the rocks was real slow. Now everything's kind of found its way back to the rocks. Uh-huh. So, you know, some of those spots that we've just been passing up and basically theoretically just hadn't been hit, hadn't been touched, got some beautiful vermilion snapper on them. You know, some of the barrel fishing spots are they had a good hatch last year, apparently. There's plenty of those. You know, tile fish is a little bit different, but, the stars are aligning to make good trips like that. They don't always go that way, but, you know, while we were on the break just now, I looked at the altimetry for for all the floating rigs, and you know, Perdido looks the best. You know, this is for tuna fishing, so Perdido by far looks the best. It's in a -2. altimetry. It's a little bit spread out, but it's a long run too. But you're still in a negative to zero altimetry between Nance and Boomvang and Diana, Hoover Diana. And then we got over to the west, to the east is, the other rig to the east. I'm tired this morning. Sorry, man. But,
that's all right. I had a morning like that the other day.
Yeah. I forget. Well, see,
but I wasn't having the kind of fun you're having.
Last weekend, I was in Georgia, so I was 1 hour ahead of the show, and then I woke up thinking it was, back. And then here, I know for sure I'm back, so I, it's 2 o'clock here, and we didn't go to sleep till probably 11. But anyways, also short, there's all the floaters look really good for yellowfin tuna, and if somebody's going to ask me where to go with the pick, I think I would pick Diana. If I was going to go out, Gunnison was the other rig to the east that I was talking about, Gunnison. But Diana, and if you're over in that area, maybe Gunnison. I don't know. It's not in super great water, but it's as far as altimetry, but as we've talked several times, on the radio, the altimetry is not to live and die by. It's just something a tool to use. And I do believe in it. I do believe that if you're in good negative water, that you will, have more opportunities at fish. And, so with that being said, Perdido looks to be the best. Diana's probably real close second, and then possibly Gunnison,
Yeah.
But any one of the floaters would probably be good as any other. So, try them all. I know every time we've been out there in the last few years, you just pile the people, center console boats with one motor, and no distance is too far anymore.
I guess not. But outboards are a lot more dependable these days, so. You've got a new one.
That's
no
true.
Issues. Might as well go for it. But I'd like to have at least a pair on there just to make sure,
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'm over here with a lot of the old school captains, Trent Allen and a few other guys. And we were reminiscing last night about, it was not that long ago, a good 60-mile run was like, in the late 90s. You felt like really did something, The first trips to the floaters, those are, hardly touched in the 90s, by any kind of, sport
That's
fishing
right.
people. It just didn't happen. And now it's, it's just crazy how everything's changed. Shoot, like I said, you see bay boats out there, 150 miles offshore. That's just not something you would ever see, back in the day. Of course, also, you didn't necessarily have to go that far, too. There was some of the deeper legged rigs you could catch yellowfin on, and you still can. East and West Cerveza during the wintertime is not, you can,
right.
you can definitely catch tuna there. You don't have to go to the floaters, but, floaters a little bit more consistent with yellowfin and stuff like that, but... Yep, it's been a great weekend so far, and like I said, we'll have a much better report for you coming up. But I'm sorry to hear, but I know.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mickey.
Sorry to hear what?
No, I'm sorry to hear about Mike. That's
Mike Williams. I know that's
yeah.
Another good one gone. We lost one last week down in South Texas, Craig West, and this week Mike Williams up here on the Upper Coast. And we're all headed there, whether we like to admit it or not. It's just it's a darn shame, man.
sure is. Get that bucket list out and start whacking them off left and right. Just, yeah. I mean, that's just, yeah, it sucks. It sucks. The fishing won't quite be the same without him, I'm sure. But I'm sure somebody will try real hard to fill his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, it's, you know, of course, down south, the weather, the forecast of upcoming weather, you know, maybe one day during this week that looks like it might be good enough. And hopefully this doesn't mean this is it for wintertime or, you know, late fall fishing for, or early fall, excuse me, for, you know, Freeport area. I guess we'll see what happens. But we sure would like to get about two more trips. I mean, two more good trips would top us off. And really, they're still catching some billfish, some blues, and a few sails from what I hear. And so they're out there still. We really need to make some more points up with that. And it wouldn't take much, and I think we would be, we could kind of solidify ourselves in that tournament. And so I think that's going to be the aim in the next couple of weeks is just try to make at least one or two more. So
wow.
Just kind of sit back and watch how the fall plays out. You know what? I mean, knock on wood. Are we not like the luckiest? 2025 has got to be one of the luckiest years on record. We have zero hurricanes in the Gulf. Like, that's crazy. You know?
Yeah, we're not out of the woods yet, but knock on wood, I think we might make it this year. We just might make it.
I'm telling you. And, you know, and that actually, ironically, helps a little bit. You know, I feel like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of goes both ways. Those hurricanes do, they'll mix up the water. They'll, you know, right now there's still a real hazy green algae bloom kind of thing going on offshore. And it would certainly clean some of that up and start moving some of this hot water around a little bit. But I think that also on the flip side, it's not that bad a thing because it, you know, it allows the fish to stay in one spot for a period of time, you know, and that's normally when those hurricanes come through, as you well know, it'll start shaking things up. You got to go find them again or figure out where they went.
Right.
You know, and I think now you got an opportunity to kind of go and find them where they're at and not have to search so much. So it should mean stellar fall weather. If we can keep the, you know, if we can get some decent weather days, plenty of shrimp boats out there. There's, you know, somebody, one customer asked me last week, man, but, you know, I want to go and do a meat haul. You know, what can we do? Man, you know, there's just not a lot in season right now, but shoot. Man, a box full of blackfin, that's about as meat haul as I've found so far. So, you know, and there's tons of them underneath them. There was at least a few weeks ago, so I would imagine they're still there.
Yeah, that it turned out to be a, boy, it started off bad, but it turned out to be a good year for offshore. It really did.
It did.
Sharky had
a little patience.
Specific swordfish trip the other day, and they caught two. One giant, one big one.
Yeah. He's doing good. He's doing great.
I mean, that's a fish you go out there and fish for, and you may not even get a bite, you know?
No kidding. You know, he lost one a while back, and, you know, he was talking to me on the phone about it. You know, and he was asking, what did I think it was? You know, and he said it would come up, and he was fishing like 1,600 foot of water. He said it would come up all the way to almost to the top. He would touch the leader. I mean, that was 70 foot at least.
Right.
From where he was touching it to the hook. And he said he'd bring it up that far, and it would just turn around and dump and just go 1,600 foot back down, very drag and everything. Didn't even faze him. And, you know, there's two fish that can do that. One, it is, in fact, a swordfish, a big one. They will do that. Yeah. I rarely see big. I mean, sometimes sometimes the big ones won't jump as much, but they don't, I mean, they at least let you look at them most of the time, I feel like. But then the other thing is a big shark. You know, shark, those, what do they call them, with the big long tails, yeah. Anyways, a big shark would do the same thing. And, you know, they got the big long tails and they got a lot of force behind them. So it's a 50-50, man. He might have had one that was 300 plus, or he could have had a big shark, one or two. But, yeah. I mean, he's doing great, though. I mean, he's dialed in right now. He's got him figured out.
For now. With, I'll tell you. Yeah, there's... I remember him talking a little bit about that fish that he never could figure out what it was. That, like you were saying. And the possibility it could have been Jaws.
Could have been Jaws, yeah.
You know, great whites do come in the Gulf of Mexico. They move around out there more than people think. And a lot of them you see that they have tagged. They're out there basically in y'all's fishing grounds where y'all go real deep for, like, swordfish and things like that. So that's not uncommon.
Yeah. So it's a thresher shark is what, you know, they catch a lot of out here. I mean, I say a lot of, you know, there'll be a handful of them caught every year, you know, big threshers. Yeah. And those threshers got that big old long tail, man. They'll do the same thing. They'll just dump and, you know, they'll dump a few times. You know, it's actually, they're tough. And
how big do those things get? You know, I've seen, you know, the smaller ones like 8-footers and stuff, but I heard they get pretty big.
You know, they do get real big. And, you know, especially on the East Coast, I've seen them up to probably 200 pounds. And, you know, down here, to my recollection, I don't know anybody who's kept one. So I nobody's weighed it. But, you know, decimation, probably pushing 200. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to say on sharks, too, especially like that. Right. You know, they're kind of skinny bodies, supposed to be in the real big bodies, but those tails weigh a lot, too. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. But yeah, I mean, nonetheless, they do catch them. I mean, I tell you what, there's probably been equal amount of bluefin tuna caught the exact same way when the bluefin come around, sword fishing at 1,200 foot of water, same bait, same everything, they come and eat it, you know.
Yep.
Just never know, man.
The wild blue rounder, you just never know. That's exactly right. Well, Jeff, I enjoyed the conversation, man. I hope y'all have a good, successful trip today, and if somebody wants to call you about getting with you, give them some info how they can reach you, man.
Yeah, man, give us a call anytime at 979-417-1013. You know, call me. We don't book anything basically between here and Christmas or New Year's for that matter. We do take a couple of names just in case something, you know, gotcha. We have a good weather window or something like that. We'll take the people. So, yeah, give us a call.
All right, buddy. Well, y'all have fun over there. Get after it, man.
Hi. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you now.
All right. Later.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.